Dozens of vehicles have had windows smashed, vandals really tampering with people's cars in the city of Bridgeport. And it was brought to our attention, including by a colleague here on WACC, whose car had the tires punctured, even reports of manure being thrown at cars, people's doors being knocked on. What the heck is going on? We've got the chief of police here, Roderick Porter, with the very latest. Chief Porter, always appreciate having you here.
Good morning, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
So, Chief Porter, I'm going to back up just a second. Over the weekend, we learned about a specific complex that had a lot of cars burglarized. And I always kind of take those stories with a grain of salt. Why do I say that? Because a lot of times we hear of people leaving keys in the car, leaving cars unlocked, leaving valuables. So there's, I'm not saying it's ever okay to tamper with people's cars, but sometimes we sort of do it to ourselves. But now, when more of the details have come out, and especially learning about BlackRock, it seems to be targeted as well. You're talking about dozens of cars, windows being smashed, tires being punctured. I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, Melissa, you know, so this is something that occurred sporadically over the last several years, not only in Bridgeport, but other communities, too, where we've had these random acts of vandalism. And so in the last six months, we've been on it. We've done some intensive investigations. We've increased police patrols in those areas. And roughly 6 months ago, in that general same area, we arrested several juveniles who were responsible for these vandalisms. So, again, you know, it seems like they're back at it again. And, you know, we are working with that complex as well as others to try and harden those locations.
So I was looking it up because I couldn't remember the name of it, and I apologize for that. But it was the Cherry Street Lofts. It was at the top of my head. But yeah, the Cherry Street Lofts. And I know when I was reading it, again, as you mentioned, this is not the first time it's happened. It tends to be sort of a targeted area. I know police in the past have said they need more secure parking because a lot of these residents will park either on the street or in an unsecured lot. The developer, though, says police need to conduct more patrols in the area. Is it a little bit of both? What do you think is the real problem, at least for Cherry Street? And then we'll go to the bigger picture.
Okay, yeah. So for Cherry Street, yeah. So this has been going on for several years. I would say 5-6 years that this has been happening sporadically. And ultimately, so we've done increased patrols. We put cameras out there. We've made recommendations to them on how they can secure the place better. For long-term success, though, they really need more secure parking. There's a lot of off-street parking, and the parking lot that they park in is limited, and it's in back of one of the abandoned buildings that they have over there. So I think for long-term success, obviously, yes, it's a coordinated effort, but we need more. The residents there and deserve more secure parking spaces.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not going to try to rope you in any way, shape or form, Chief Porter. You know, I'm a fan of yours. So I'm not I'm not asking you to at all comment on any politics of this. But to me, you know, I reached out to Senator Gaston because I said this is a pure example, a prime example, I should say, of why, especially Bridgeport and many of our cities said, look, the House bill that was being proposed and the governor ultimately vetoed had a major issue because it didn't require parking with a lot of these new development projects. And when I was reading this and people are parking on the streets or they're in lots that are maybe don't have security cameras or are not patrolled as often, it was to me a prime example of why you have to have some kind of parking requirements with new development, because it's just not fair. I feel bad for the people who are parking, and it's just a safety concern. And the amount of money you pay to live in Bridgeport, you should at least know that your car, even if you do everything right, is not going to get tampered with.
Yeah. And, you know, I was out there the other day, and I witnessed some of the windows that were broken and spoke to some of the residents. And, you know, I'm concerned for them, and they do deserve to be able to go to sleep and not worry about their cars. Obviously, there's some times that we just can't, it's unavoidable. These individuals are out breaking into cars randomly. So last night we had our details out. And we did, our officers encountered several youths, and we did detain one. We were able to detain one. And we have some promising leads, I think, into who may be responsible. But oftentimes these are real sporadic. They're like smash and grabs, or they smash the windows, get what they can get, and take off. And it's really important that residents continue to be vigilant and not leave valuables inside their vehicles.
Right. Of course, there are always things that we could do. And I agree with Chief Porter, because a lot of times I'll hear these stories of, well, the cars were unlocked, or keys were left in the car, or purses were in the front seat, electronics, what have you. And I think, come on, guys. And again, should we have to live in a time where your car is your property? No one should be touching it. I agree completely. However, we live in a time where people don't care. So make yourself as least a target as possible. But again, Chief Porter, when you go back to these examples, I mean, there's a Facebook page. And again, this was brought to my attention by a colleague of mine. And when I was reading the BlackRock Facebook page, I mean, some of the things are just off. It's just a nuisance. It's really unfair. I mean, it's people who did lock their cars, did do the things you're talking about, and their cars are being destroyed. And I'm curious, first of all, do we think this is mostly youth crime? Is it sort of hard to, I mean, I don't know if anything is linked. Is it too early on? I mean, what do you typically find with these types of cases?
Yeah, oftentimes it's juveniles. Sometimes they're in the company of an adult. But they allow the juveniles to go out and do the smash and grabs because obviously when they're caught, the penalties are less for juveniles. But we do see these sporadically. They just pop up and, it's usually overnight, late night. So we're adjusting, obviously, to address this. We have extra patrols out and we have some other details that we're doing as well that I can't mention to try and curb this.
Okay, so, but you have things going on. I don't need to obviously, put that out there for everybody to know because that would probably tamper with or at least get in the way of you doing an effective job. But this is something that is on your radar and it's very top of mind.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And we try to work with our surrounding towns because oftentimes they will get hit too. It's definitely on our radar, Melissa.
And the other thing too, Chief Porter, because again, my heart breaks for the people who are writing about this and, and there's, and unfortunately, unless you've got, again, if you've got surveillance cameras, I mean, some people saying they have dashboard cameras, but if the car's not started, the dashboard camera is not going to get anything.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you suggest people do? I mean, especially if they, I don't know if it's sort of just, go to bed every night knowing you did all of the precautions to make your car as least targetable as possible. And just pray that it doesn't get wrecked overnight. But is there anything people can do effectively either to help police in the search for the culprits or to just keep themselves under the radar?
Yeah. So like you said, obviously take the basic precautions, only valuables visible in your vehicles. Try and park in well-lit areas. And if you see individuals late at night, call the police, especially juveniles. Juveniles walking around after midnight, we're going back to school tomorrow. So if you see kids walking around late at night, you should definitely call the police because, maybe they're roaming, they're looking for things going on or trying to find opportunities. So we're going to increase our patrols. I'm hopeful that we'll be able to curb this again.
Bridgeport Chief of Police Roderick Porter, I want to thank you for always making the time. Thank you so much. And I'm sure we'll be in touch again really soon.
All right. Thank you, Melissa. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Chief Roderick Porter here on WICC.